ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, Text 8. Devodhyanashaya Jushtam Adhyastesma Tripishtapam Mahendra Bhavanam Sakshat Nirmitam Vishwakarmana Trailokya Lakshayatan. Adhyuvasakhila Riddhimat Devodhyanashaya Jushtam Adhyastesma Tripishtapam Mahendra Bhavanam Sakshat Nirmitam Vishwakarmana Trailokya Lakshmyayatam Adhyuvasakhila Dhimata Devodhyanashaya Jushtam Adhyastesma Tripishtapam Mahendra Bhavanam Sakshat Nirmitam Vishwakarmana Trailokya Lakshmyayatan Adhyuvasakhilardhimat. Devodhyanashaya Jushtam Adhyastesma Tripishtapam Mahendra Bhavanam Sakshat Mataji's word-to-word meaning. Deva Udhyana, of the famous garden of the demigods. Shriya, by the opulences. Jushtam, enriched. Adhyastesma, remained in. Tripishtapam, the higher planetary system, where various demigods live. Mahendra Bhavanam, the palace of Indra, the king of heaven. Sakshat, directly. Nirmitam constructed Vishwakarmana by the famous architect of the demigods Vishwakarma, Trailokya of all the three worlds, Lakshmi Ayatanam, the residence of Goddess of Fortune, Adhyuvasa, lived in, Akila Ruddhimata, possessing the opulence of the entire universe. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Hiranyakashipu, who possessed all opulence, began residing in heaven with its famous Nandana garden, which is enjoyed by the demigods. In fact, he resided in the most opulent palace of Indra, the king of heaven. The palace had been directly constructed by the demigods, by the demigod architect Vishwakarma, and was as beautiful made as if the goddess of fortune of the entire universe resided there. Purport. From this description, it appears that all the heavenly planets of the upper planetary system are thousands upon thousands of times more opulent than the lower planetary system in which we live. Vishwakarma, the famous heavenly architect, is known as the constructor of many wonderful buildings in the upper planets, where there are not only beautiful buildings, but also many opulent gardens and parks, which are described as Nandana Devodyan, gardens quite fit to be enjoyed by the demigods. The descriptions of upper planetary system and its opulence is to be understood from authoritative scriptures like the Vedic literatures. Telescope and other imperfect instruments of scientists are inadequate for evaluating the upper planetary system. Although such instruments are needed because the vision of the so-called scientist is imperfect, the instruments themselves are also imperfect. Therefore, the upper planets cannot be appraised by imperfect men using imperfect man-made instruments. Direct information received from the Vedic literature, however, is perfect. We therefore cannot accept the statement that there is no opulent residence on planets other than this earth. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I'd like to beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees, specifically senior devotees, so that we can speak something about this elevated topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this text 8, as translation goes, Hiranyakashipu, who possessed all opulences, began residing in the heaven with its famous Nandana garden, which is enjoyed by the demigods. In fact, he resided in the most opulent palace of Indra, the king of heaven. The palace had been directly constructed by the demigod architect Vishwakarma and was as beautifully made as if the goddess of fortune of the entire universe resided there. So the description is now going on about the Hiranyakashipu has got the boon, almost little less than immortality, and he conquered practically all the species of life, what we saw yesterday. And today the description is there where he was staying. So he was staying in Nandana garden. There is very nice palace of Indra. It is the most opulent palace. Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gonitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, as we see that Prabhupada's purports are down to earth. Although things are talked about heavenly planets, Prabhupada talks about imperfect senses and how the even if there is made research, so much scientific research also will not be able to completely comprehend what is there in the upper planets. What to speak of spiritual world? So Prabhupada talks here about the limited capacity or limited usage of the instruments which are used by the scientific inventions. Generally, like, we also know to some extent that our senses are imperfect. That's why I'm wearing this glass. Otherwise, I'm not. So, because my senses are imperfect to see, that's why I need some help, external help. So, that is the normal thing in any human being. As Prabhupada writes in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, that these four defects are there in every human being. That because his senses are imperfect, that is first. Because of that imperfectness of the senses, he becomes illusioned. And because he becomes illusioned, he commits a mistake. That is third. And because he has some ego to not accept that mistake, then he cheats, telling that, no, I cannot make any mistakes. So these four defects, they are available in every human being. Whether you are 10th fail, or whether you are PhD, or whether you are Prime Minister, or whether you are a philosopher, or whoever. All will have these four defects. So that's what makes things difficult to understand about the higher realm. Generally, whenever we are talking about limitedness of the instruments what we are using, like currently now we have so many instruments which we use for understanding things of this world. Like we use telescopes, we use microscopes, we use many varieties of scopes are there to find out what things are happening. So, when we are objectively, even if you think, take one instrument, say, Gokuleshwar Prabhu was giving this example of scale. That if you want to measure something, then you use a scale, that is the instrument. So now I have to use, to measure this table, then I can measure that it's 1.5 feet length and things like that. So that is an instrument, but that instrument also has its innate some problem, which because of its limitedness. If I have to measure, say, diameter of my hair, then that cannot be used, because that is, that minimum scale is not there. So then I need another instrument, vernier, caliper, or you know, so many others. So which measure even smaller things also. So the way the scale is limited, similar the vernier caliper also is limited. It's not that it's, then it can measure anything as small. Because with that you can't measure atom. That is too little less than that. Or with vernier caliper we cannot use it for measuring the distance between earthly planet and heavenly planet. That is not possible. So every instrument has limited capacity. And that's why it becomes very difficult with one instrument, or even collectively you keep some 4 or 5 instruments. Still, because the man is imperfect, and then he only is creating these instruments, they will also be imperfect. So there is no scope of understanding higher realm just by our instruments. They will be always faulty. Whatever, you know, upgradation you may make in the instruments, yes, it will be upgraded, your vision, but not full. Like my eyes now have little fault in seeing, I can upgrade it by putting a lens. But that doesn't mean that I can see the heavenly planets now. No, that is not possible. It has its own limitation. Little upgradation is there. So when we are talking about this kind of instruments used for seeing things in this world, then it comes to a very important, you know, point, that then where we base our learning, where we understand things of this world, just on the basis of this limited instruments or something else. So this is a direct sense perception, but then when it is limited, then we have to take another help, which is perfect source of knowledge. And the Vedas, they are the perfect source of knowledge. Vedas are like direct description. It's like if I give some telescope and we tell them, now you go on the Gurukul terrace or highest building in this, whatever, and we can tell that this is the direction of America. You can see through it and write a thesis on it. You write about what America is. Yes, he will be able to do, depending on the power of that lens. So he may see some things, and he may write also that America is like this. And someone goes to America, comes from there, and then he is talking about America. Which is better? Of course, one who has experienced, seen personally, been there and then come, that is more perfect than just seeing through telescope. So similarly, here also we have two options. One is NASA, they have very nice, big, huge telescopes by which they are trying to understand the heavenly planets. And we have Narad Muni, who goes there and comes back and tells Hare Krishna. So he tells to Vyasadeva. You know, Vyasadeva is telling to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is telling to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami is telling to us that heavenly planet is like this, like this. So choice is with us whether we believe in the big telescope of NASA or we believe in Narad Muni, who has gone there and come. So that is the simplest, at the same time, very profound way of understanding things of this world. So, when the choice comes of which instrument to choose, then we choose person as authority who had seen it. That's the basis of learning anything in this world. So, generally what happens is, in this world, people have more faith in instruments than in the Vedas. That is current scenario. Why is like that? That is because they have used some instruments and they have given some good results. Like, if they want to see some bacteria. Yes, they have the microscope and then they see bacteria and then many research happens. So that gives a faith that yes, this is working. Good. With that small faith, when they try to, put it to the world which is beyond the realm, then creates a problem. So generally, that is called as a judgment based on some consequence. Like I have this specs. When I put these specs, I can see properly. So then I develop some faith on the person who made these spectacles. So when that spectacle wala, the glass work, he comes and he says, I have another spectacle by which you can see spiritual world also. So then, because I have some little success in improving my, then I tend to put my faith on that proposal also. That no problem. Put the spectacle, you will see soul also. And that's how the whole thing happens. Because some consequence is there that we are getting some good result. Because of that, then it create artificial faith on such kind of instruments, which fails miserably whenever we are trying for it. So this is a judgment based, so that faith comes by some result, not by scriptures, which is absolute. Like in Krishna consciousness or in religion as such, people are very much fond of seeing some miracles. They bolte na, wherever there is chamatkar, there is namaskar. So they say, you are a godly person, so you should show some miracle. That's why sometimes people used to come and ask Prabhupada, can you show some miracle? Why that question is, because it's like one conception is there that the spiritual life means something miracle, and when I see that miracle, then I develop faith that yes, something is very nice now. It's not normal. So that faith is dependent on miracles. So that kind of faith is faith in mode of passion, rajoguni faith. Faith in mode of goodness is, he has a faith in the scriptures. Even if there is difficulty in understanding it, he understands this is the absolute source of knowledge. So I put faith in the Vedas, and then I understand about the higher realms, like heavenly planets or Vaikuntha, or even the spirit soul. So because of that faith in the mode of passion, that tendency is there that we want to experience some miracles, even in spiritual life. Like when we are chanting Hare Krishna, so many anarthas are there. We want to see some miracle that suddenly one day after Radhashtami or something, we feel that, yesterday I prayed and then now heart should be clear, white slate. But that is not going to happen. So that kind of faith, even if arises by some kind of miracles, that is not such a strong faith, because that is faith in the mode of passion. That's based on something material. So that's why we can see that whenever God is there, people feel that God must be something. It's like that's why sometimes people, they come and see our Radharas Bihari, they feel that okay, he's like us only, having two arms and it's like just playing flute. When they see some four arms, 1,000 arms, No, then they feel that yes, you know, now it's like God. That's why sometimes people, they have, you know, readily accept Vishwarup form, you know, it's like very huge. It becomes little easier to understand. That's why Arjuna, knowing the mentality of people, he told Krishna that you show this. So that in case tomorrow there should not be doubt. That, you know, you have only two arms like us only. And then how can you be God? So he said, you know, you show this, you know, form to the whole world. So that there is stamp on the supremacy of yours. So that is a very wrong basis of approaching spirituality. Looking for some big miracle. It's like, now we want to meet a prime minister. We know that he is a very great person, or he is a very big person, very influential person. You know, he has many powers. With his one word, thing can change. You know. So when someone goes and he has something very strange understanding that he should be something very different. That, you know, either he should have some two horns or some, it's like he should have some different, you know, thing than us. With that, if you go and then you find that he also is like me only. Then you feel, hey, how is it possible? I heard that he is a very great person, but he is like me only, having two legs and two arms. So it's not much. So that is a problem because of the conception that there should be some miracle. Then only people believe. Another problem is there with this kind of miracle problem is that if the miracle happens once, then it is considered miracle. If that miracle happens frequently, people tend to consider it as normal. You see the human psychology. Just imagine now you go on the street here, just outside our temple, and you find one dog flying in the sky. You will come running and tell 10 people, you know, I saw one dog flying in the sky. But just imagine if the two people saw the same dog, still that is a great wonder. If you see 100 dogs flying in the sky, it's a miracle? It's a miracle still. But if you find all dogs flying all the times, it's a miracle, but you see the birds, they're this kind of entity is having a weight, and they're flying all the time, all the birds, but then we tend to think that no, it's not a miracle. That's why Prabhupada says that give God a Nobel Prize, because he's creating miracle every time. When the milk is coming from a cow, that is a miracle. Just because it is happening all the time and all the cows are giving milk, that doesn't make it less than miracle. When the rain doesn't come, it's like no rain is there. Then somewhere someone does some chanting Hare Krishna or something, and then rain comes. Then it is considered miracle. But then the rain coming every day, that is not miracle. You see the kind of human psychology. He understands miracle means it should be rare and it should be seen only by me because I am very great. You know, it's like then that miracle is there. If everyone sees, then what is a miracle? Or if it is happening every day, then what is a miracle? But actually it is not. Miracle means, that's why Prabhupada talks in the Life Comes From Life about the Achinta Shakti of the Lord. It's a miraculous power Lord has. So, that's why Prabhupada stresses that you do some invention and create something and then you are given Nobel Prize. But Lord is already doing it. In mass he is doing it. And for last history he is doing it. And then you think that, okay, it's not such a big thing. So, that is another problem with miracles. When the miracle starts happening every day, then people, they think that not so great. So, it's like In etiquettes, they teach many times that if someone gives a glass of water or gives something to you, then you say thank you, isn't it? Even if you go to some restaurant, some waiter comes and gives you one paratha, then we say courtesy, we say thank you. But then mother is giving parathas for last 20 years, all the time, every day. Then we feel that, okay, it's normal. We don't have to say thank you. So for a waiter, for one chapati, we can say thank you. But then for God, God is providing everyone chapatis, all the time, for whole history. We feel that, okay, it's normal. He's supposed to do that. You know, why he is there for? So when things happen repeatedly, miraculous, then it tends to fade away because of human psychology, that we feel that, you know, it's not such a miraculous thing. So things based on miracle only, they will not bring us to the real knowledge. The real knowledge comes from Vedas only, because that is apaurusheya. Apaurusheya means it's not someone else's sense perception. It's not that some people sat together, some rishis sat together and they wrote Vedas. Not like that. The Vedas, they directly come from the Lord. That's why they are called as apaurusheya. So, that's how, keeping faith in the Vedas, that is the way by which we gain absolute knowledge. There is no question of any partial knowledge when we are having faith in the Vedas. Another problem with this instruments and perception is, the instrument may be the same, and if two people are using that instrument, their observation will be different. So that becomes another problem with this instruments. Like you have heard this, because before coming to Krishna consciousness, whenever I heard about Parikshit Maharaj, specifically this, he got a curse, in 7 days he will die. And it's quite famous, that story, that you know, there was a king Parikshit, and then he got a curse, and then he became very afraid, then he constructed the fort, and then he was sitting inside, and then he stopped things coming inside so that he will avoid death. And the Takshaka came through somehow, and then what to do now? Then he died ultimately. You have heard that? So why such kind of different versions comes? Just because of the perception of the writer. Person who is not a devotee and he sees departure of Parikshit Maharaj, what he will write? Okay, forget about departure of Parikshit Maharaj. If some materialistic MBBS doctor is there at the time of departure of Srila Prabhupada, what he will write? He will write there was a old man, age 80 around. He had a problem in his stomach, some kidney problems, and some other problems were there. We tried our best to save him, but couldn't be saved. There were many people praying for him, and he left his body in Vrindavan. That's what he can write about the departure of Prabhupada. But then you read Prabhupada Lilamrut, there is a special one chapter and final lesson. You know, there our Satsurup Maharaj writes that was a most amazing lesson which Prabhupada wanted to give, that how to live in Krishna consciousness. And then we quote that so many times, that how Prabhupada also, we compare that as to Bhishma Dev. He was lying on the bed but still discussing about Krishna consciousness. How then Prabhupada was so bold in facing the death because of his Krishna consciousness. He was showing to others how to die. So, and devotees were praying not for well-being of Prabhupada. They were crying because now they were bereft of Prabhupada's association. Prabhupada is going to the spiritual world. So if devotee has to write about the departure of this great soul, he will write that here is a personality who traveled all over the world 14 times in 11 years. That shows how Krishna was empowering him. And now he is about to leave his body, but still he is so, you know, desperate to give Krishna consciousness because his guru has ordered him. What a kind of loyalty and what kind of compassion he has. And with this, he successfully departed to the spiritual world as an acharya. So we can see both angles. Both angles are in one sense true, but then they are based on, one is based on its imperfect understanding of what is happening. And he has his own interpretation. But then, the perfect interpretation is when a person understands through the scriptures. Because scriptures gives us an understanding that what a devotee is, what this whole world is. And when we see through the scriptures, then we understand what the reality is. So this perception has this problem that different person uses that perception. Like devotee also has the same eyes to see Prabhupada, and outside person also has the same eyes to see Prabhupada, but then the perception will be different. So even with the same instrument has a problem when the psychology is different. So that's why when we are what is the psychology which we are looking for? As Brahmaji says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaha Sadaiva Rudayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achinta Gunasurupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Says Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, that when our eyes are tainted with love, then we can see the Lord as Lord. It's amazing that when we see this, like now pastime is going on of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu will be dead in few days. And after that, Diti is there. Diti vows to kill Indra. So there Diti's understanding is there about the whole pastime. She says, this Indra is the culprit. He killed my son. My son, such a wonderful person. Of course he was little naughty, but that doesn't mean that he should kill him. You understand? Hiranyakashipu is terrorizing the whole world. And mother feels that he's little naughty. But all the way he's a nice person. So we can see that her eyes were tainted with love for Hiranyakashipu. So she saw Hiranyakashipu as a naughty boy. That's it. And then we find here that Hiranyakashipu is creating such a havoc. So we can see that instrument, if it is not based on the conception of Vedic literature, if it is not based on something absolute, then we will be swayed away from the truth. That's why the first step of understanding spiritual life is to understand our limitations. That's why Prabhupada writes elaborately this in Bhagavad Gita introduction. He talks about the four defects. He talks about the parampara. He talks about the Vedic knowledge through which we gain the absolute knowledge. So that is very important. So how we get this, chakshu by which we can see the Lord? That's why we sing every day in the Guru Puja, chakshu dan dilojai janme janme prabhu sei. That Guru can give that chakshu because he has that chakshu. Because Guru has that prema for the Lord, by which he is seeing the Lord. By serving him, we also get that prema and we also get that chakshudan. So that is the process of understanding anything in spiritual life. That we get understanding and the opportunity by hearing. That's why we see that Prabhupada, by his mercy, not only he has given us just vision of the spiritual world, but he has given us even ticket to spiritual world. He has given us the process also. So it's like just someone, even if creates a telescope by which we can see the spiritual world also, okay. But here Prabhupada is not just showing spiritual world, he is telling you just do this and he guarantees that we will be back home, back to Godhead. So choice is ours. Whom we choose? We choose person who is giving a ticket to spiritual world or who is giving a telescope. Okay, take this telescope, you try. You know, not in this life, next life you can try. And one day hum honge kamyab. But then that kind of the proposition is not for intelligent people. Intelligent people see the result. So we can see that, and Guru, how he gives that Chakshudan? He gives by sound vibration. So Brahma also gets that through Gayatri. Krishna plays his flute and Brahmaji, all the knowledge is revealed. So similarly, Guru also gives that knowledge to disciple through sound vibration, through hearing. So when a disciple hears about the description of the spiritual world, having faith in Guru and the scriptures, then he understands about the truth of spiritual life. So we can see that hearing affects our seeing. So hearing has a lot to do what we see. If you don't hear, don't blame eyes. You will not be able to see. It's as simple as that. Once, you know, we were talking to one personal servant of, like in one of the most difficult service, very taxing services, personal servant of some Maharaj. You can see them like they have no schedule only. When to sleep, when to get up, what to do. And it's like they are always, antennas are always on. Anything can come anytime. So we were talking to one personal servant. So he said that, you know, it's like we don't know what is next thing to do. So it's always challenging. So then one day what I was telling him that, but only when, you know, like there are always chance that your spiritual master may give you some seva. You have to be always alert. But then this devotee was telling to this personal servant that, but when Maharaj gives lecture, that time at least you get some free time, you know, like that time now from Vyasasan he cannot give, tell that, you know, book my ticket, this to do that. At least on Vyasasan for 2 hours, you know, you are out of service. So then he was telling, he said, actually, that is not time for relaxation, he said. If I don't hear that time from my spiritual master, then I will not be able to serve him next 22 hours. Because the same mentality that when you are too much close, then it becomes like no miracle, it's like normal. So he was telling, when you see spiritual master, you know, eating, then you see spiritual master eating tablets, his body is, you know, having some problem, then you see spiritual master taking gamcha, going for taking bath. He said it's great, you know, risk is there to consider him as a ordinary human being. Only one way is there by which we can appraise our consciousness, by hearing from him. So when sound vibration comes, then we understand, no, he is not a ordinary man. So the point is that whatever we hear, that decides our vision. So that's why Prabhupada talks about Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. He says Nityam. Nityam means always. Amazing, Prabhupada writes in the translation of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Anyone knows? Prabhupada writes, so one should have regular attendance in Bhagavatam class. That is his translation of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's like very down to earth translation. That is the meaning of Acharya. That he is not just translating Sanskrit. You know, Nityam means always. Bhagavata means Bhagavat. Sevaya means do service. So if word to word is there, then do service of Bhagavatam always. What do you understand? You understand nothing. But then Prabhupada comes and translates regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Then it makes some sense. So that's why sometimes outside grammarian has a problem with translation of Prabhupada. They say that Prabhupada writes anything. So, but actually that is not the fact. That is what the Acharya is. Like in Krishna book, the description is there that Krishna is playing with Amalaki fruit. It's like, so now if Prabhupada is writing this book for Westerners, see American, when you write Amalaki fruit, okay, what they will understand? So Prabhupada translate there as walnut. Walnut means this akrod. So that is not a right translation. Amalki is different and akrod is different. But then the translation is not for just what the fact is. Translation is what impact is, not fact. So that's not just a grammar. So that's how we see the Prabhupada when he is describing about this heavenly planets and Vaikuntha planets. He is coming down to our level and telling us how we should see spiritual world, how we should see material world, how we see should see the heavenly planets. So through his translations, purports, which are based on Vedic scriptures and previous acharyas, translations and purports, we understand it as it is. So that is the only way by which we can understand the truth. That's why Brahmaji in his prayers, in 10th canto, he talks about this perception. He says, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva, jivanti sanmukhuritam bhavadiya vartam, sthane stita shutigatam tanuvang manobhir. And he says, by this kind of thing, what happens? He says, ye prayasho ajita jitopi astrai strilokyam. That by no other process you can understand Krishna as he is. Not by your instruments, not by your perceptions, not by some discussions, nothing. That's why he says, Jnane prayasam udapasya. He says, all this sensory, intellectual understanding, you keep it away. Udapasya means give it completely. Not even little, you keep it. So he says, Jnane prayasam udapasya. He says, don't even try to understand Krishna through your brain and your instruments. Why he is so confident? Because he tried it and he failed with his all four intellect heads. He tried to understand Krishna and he failed miserably. So now he is very confident, telling us now, I tried, I failed with all my four heads. You have only one head. So please understand, don't try also. Just, he says, Jeevanti san mukharitam bhavadiya varta. When you understand and hear about the topics of Krishna, he said Jeevanti. Jeevanti means for surely you will go back to spiritual world. So that is the, and he says Tanuvang Manobhi. And the acharyas, they give a very nice purport for this Tanuvang Manobhi. That he says with your body, mind and words. One acharya says that with body, mind and words, when devotee surrenders, he can conquer the Lord. And then some other acharyas, they say that devotee by his own intense devotional service, he conquers Lord's Tanuvang Manobhir. Lord's mind is conquered by devotee. Lord's words are conquered by devotee. Lord keeps talking about devotees only. And Lord mind is always thinking of devotees. So in that sense, another, he says that He says, Ajita. Ajita means you can't conquer. He says, for a non-devotee, all his endeavors with his mind, body and words will be a failure to understand Krishna. That is also one meaning of this verse. So, as Prabhupada says here, that the higher planetary system and even spiritual world, which are higher realms, cannot be appraised with limited instruments or limited capacity of our brain or cumulative capacity of all limited brains. That is not the way by which we understand God. We require absolute source of knowledge, which is the Vedas. So when we read descriptions from the Vedas, which is authority, then we understand perfectly about the spiritual world. As much as we understand about anything in this world, if someone has gone to some place and he comes and tells, that is more superior than just observing through telescope. Okay, so we'll stop here. Anybody has some comments, questions, criticisms, whatever?
Harinam indicates Krishna, Rama and Vishnu, I suppose. Am I right?
Prabhupada says,
Hari means Krishna, Rama as well as Vishnu. Is it right?
Yeah, that is indicating to the Lord only. No doubt.
So suppose somebody utters the last word, Hari, and leaves the breath, dies. Then Hari would means who, and where will he proceed?
That means on his consciousness. So, just yesterday I was reading, when the sons of Kartavirya Arjun, they killed the father of Parshuram, Jamadagni Muni. And mother Renuka, she is in great anxiety and she is crying loudly. She says, Ram, Ram, please come. So what do you think? Which Ram came? It's not Raghupati Ram came. The Ram came was this Parshuram. So, although she was calling Ram, but she was calling for Parshuram. So, Parshuram only came. So, similarly, a devotee is calling, depending on his consciousness, Lord reciprocates. Because otherwise, even Mayavadis, they chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is not going to come. Even Mayavadis chant Hare Krishna. Because their consciousness is different. So it's not just word, but what is your conscience? That's why Krishna says that at the time of leaving your body, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, he says. He doesn't say just, you know. So bhava is very important when we are uttering the sound. Is that Krishna? Yes,
Hare Krishna. At the back, here. Prabhu said, it's mentioned here that Vishwakarma is the architect for the heavenly planets. But in Krishna Lila, you see, he was called to make the, you know, Dwarkapuri. So here he appears like a construction engineer.
Yeah.
So architect and the engineer is the same?
Yeah, because it's like, generally in this world, architect means one who plans, blueprint. But in this case, when Krishna called him and then the whole Dwarka was made, we don't find any description of some construction company or something along with it. So, looks that he is capable of constructing it also, along with making a plan.
Like for this temple construction and Vrindavan, Kanpur, our Premnadji is architect. And Surabhi Prabhu is, Surabhi Maharaj was the engineer.
Yeah.
So two persons.
Yeah.
Another question, Prabhu. You said only by hearing from the scriptures one understands the, about the higher dimension where the senses doesn't reach. In Krishna Lila, when you see that Krishna and Balaram told these boys who are hungry to approach the brahmanas nearby, they were tending the cows, they were doing some jagya. So although they very properly presented about Krishna Balaram and asked for some food, they didn't give, they didn't hear only. But again Krishna told them to go to and approach their wives. So ladies, when heard about Krishna, immediately they just ran with all the foods. So why, although same person giving the information of Krishna, the brahmanas couldn't understand but their wives understood?
Yeah. So, that is the mercy of Krishna, that he doesn't force himself. It's like a dictator. That is the difference between a dictator and Krishna. Dictator means he makes a law and that is for everyone. Whether you accept, not accept, willing, not willing, you are forced. But Krishna doesn't force like that. He allows the independent free will of a living entity. So, if someone is not wanting to surrender to Krishna, then Krishna provides him some ways and means by which he can keep a distance from him. That's why so many philosophies and so many wrong theories are coming. So, it's Krishna only creates that material world. Krishna only creates that for his kind of... Krishna is so sensitive for such people also who are not believing in him. Krishna can surely force. What he has to do, just stop the air. You will not breathe only. Krishna has to just say that either you worship me or you die. Krishna can do that. But he will not. Because he is loving father.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last question and then we'll stop. It's already late.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you reply to Prabhuji's question that even though we recite Hari Hari, but ultimately consciousness matters. But in the case of Ajamil, it was different, right? He was speaking the Narayan, whatever, yeah. Lord's name. But at that time, he was also conscious about his son, not about the Lord. So how can we understand both the things? Yeah.
So there is a... that is called as... One is Aparadhanam, another is just... Before the Shuddhanam, there is a Abhas. So his chanting of the holy name was in Abhas. And if you read some of the Acharyas, they tell that actually when he was chanting Narayana, because of his previous devotional service, he was calling out that Narayana, not his boy. Some Acharyas give that comment also. So we can understand that his chanting was not like some kind of dry or without any bhav. Something was there background of that chanting. So that's why he could get that perfect destination. So that is always required. Yes, now we'll end here. You can ask. No, personally. You can ask personally after this class. Yeah.
You have to make the exercise and then proceed. So, chanting was Abhasi, but the result was also Abhasi, that you had to work out.
Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.